What's happening, everyone? It's Allie Adams, and it's a podcast to be named later Cubs Podcast. Quick check-in like we do in the beginning with the NL Central. Milwaukee still in first place with a record of 36-21. Cubs are in second place with a record of 30-23, but not far behind. St. Louis in third place with a record of 30-24. Pittsburgh is in fourth place with a record of 29-27. And Cincinnati still sitting at number five with a losing record of 20-37. Want to start out by going back and talking about that Cincinnati series. Game one, Cubs won the game 8-1. It was vintage John Lester. He pitched six innings of one-run ball, which was really good because the game was actually delayed more than 2 hours, which no pitcher likes, but it seems like that's something that John Lester really doesn't like, and sometimes he actually comes out after delays and doesn't pitch that well. So it was good to see him pitch well, even in a situation like that. Addison Russell had four hits, and Chris Bryant also had a couple of knocks. Anthony Rizzo and Wilson Contreras had multiple hits as well. All right, game two. This is where things got interesting. Cubs lost 5-4. It was definitely a frustrating game. They came back in the ninth to tie it. It was extra innings, game one of a doubleheader. Oh, and the Reds won when Justin Wilson walked in the winning run. Probably the worst game of the season, I would say. Even Joe Madden said after the game, quote, "That was one of my least favorite games as a Cubs manager." Yeah, it was also one of our least favorite games to watch as Cubs fans. Oh, yeah. And the benches cleared when Reds pitcher Amir Garrett roared and got a little too excited after getting out Javi Baez. Quick backstory, Baez hit a grand slam off of him last time they met, so I mean, it was understandable that he would get excited, but it simply wasn't just a quick, yes, I got him this time. It actually was a little bit, I think, a little more excessive than that, and it got a little personal. He actually said some words to Baez, and Baez said some words back to him, so I think it got to be a little bit much, and I don't blame Garrett for being excited, and I also don't blame Baez for being a little bit like, what, bro? The two jawed at each other, benches cleared, no punches were thrown, everyone went their separate ways. It wasn't even my favorite fight that's ever happened in Cincinnati. We'll actually talk about that in a minute. Game three, Cubs won 10-0. Of course they did, because after having, you know, one of their worst games of the season in a doubleheader, why not come back in the second game and win 10-0? Because, of course. Game four, Cubs won 6-1 to win the series. Yay! Definitely needed that. No matter who the team is, anytime you can win a series against your division rival, that is an awesome thing. And Cubs definitely need to do that in the NL Central with things still being close between Milwaukee, Chicago, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. Need all of the cushion that you can get, no matter who it's against, but especially when it does come against a division rival. That's an awesome thing. All right, this feels like the perfect time to share my favorite Cincinnati bench clearing story. So a lot of you may actually remember this particular game. It was a July 2015 game in Cincinnati. It was an extra inning game against the Reds, and Aroldis Chapman was pitching for Cincinnati at the time. He was having some control issues, nearly hit a few guys. Anthony Rizzo, he did not like that at all. So he was barking at Chapman from the Cubs dugout. Chapman, when the inning was over, waved his glove at the Cubs dugout, kind of like, you know, to dismiss them and dismiss Rizzo. When Anthony Rizzo went back out to take his place at first, the Reds bench apparently said a few words to him that he did not like. So he dropped his hat, he dropped his glove, and started charging towards the Reds bench by himself. Benches cleared, a lot of yelling at each other. Johnny Cueto. If there's one thing I remember from this fight and watching it, Johnny Cueto, who also remember was pitching for Cincinnati back in the summer of 2015, he came out in, you know, the middle of everything, didn't even bother to put down his snack. Like, he had either like some seeds or a power bar. I remember this, and I don't know why this sticks out in my mind, but he had some kind of a snack that he didn't even put down. He just had it in his hand. He was kind of like, you know, chatting, like trying to figure out what was going on. I mean, this is not that serious of a fight because, you know, Johnny Cueto didn't even put his lunch down. But all snacks aside, I think that that fight, or more like bench clearing moment, did a few things. Number one, I think that that was the moment that Anthony Rizzo became the leader of the Chicago Cubs. Obviously, veterans have come and gone through the clubhouse, but I think that Anthony Rizzo is the person that has really seen it all. He's been there for the lows, he's been there for the highs, and basically he's the face of the franchise. And I think in that moment, he was sending a signal not only just to his teammates, but also to baseball that, you know what, he has his teammates' backs, and no matter what, he's always going to. in the good and in the bad. Also, I think that it was a moment where the Cubs were sort of saying, you know what, we're done. We're done being your punching bag. We're done being a joke. We know that we're not always going to be this bad. You know that we're not always going to be this bad, so you better watch out and you better get ready. Sure enough, within a matter of weeks, both Jorge Soler and Javier Baez were called up, and in August, all of a sudden, the Chicago Cubs became the dead last team that no one in the NL Central wanted to play because things were starting to turn around. Cubs actually ended up winning that game in extra innings. And also, side note, that July 2015 game in Cincinnati was the Major League Baseball debut of pitcher Kyle Hendricks. So the Cleveland series, Cubs lost both games, whatever. San Francisco series, Cubs took 2 out of 3 from the Giants to win that series. Good. They should against the Giants. The Pittsburgh series, again, another interesting one. Game one, Cubs won 7-0. Mike Montgomery, he pitched an excellent 5.5 scoreless innings. A little bit of controversy when Rizzo slid into catcher Elias Diaz, knocking him over, then allowing Baez and Schwarber to score. The play went under review, presumably to see if the slide at home was clean or not. And at one point, both managers were out on the field arguing with umpires. It was kind of a sight to see. So much of this kind of felt like that, you know, what is a catch rule in football? His cleats were down, so it wasn't a dirty slide. But the next day, teams were informed that Rizzo's slide was, in fact, illegal. I get he was trying to break up a double play. And yeah, if that kind of slide came at Contreras, I wouldn't like it. My big thing is I don't like dirty slides where the cleats are up or out. That I don't like. If you're just trying to break up a double play, I get it. I think that this is a rule that will always carry some controversy with it. And there's always going to be questions of, you know, what is an illegal slide and what is legal. Game two, Cubs won 8-6 as expected. Anthony Rizzo was booed, then went and hit his 9th home run and reached base 4 times. Game three, Cubs lost 2-1. And of course, as you'd expect, things got chippy in the 3rd inning when Pirates pitcher Joe Musgrove collided with Javi Baez at 2nd when they were trying to turn a double play. This is after Contreras got hit by 2 pitches earlier in that game. Musgrove and Baez shared a few words. Of course, benches cleared. Kyle Hendricks tried playing peacemaker because he was pitching. He kind of tried getting in the middle of them, which was kind of funny. And in the end, it was no big deal. Cubs won the series, so whatever. And on to some random Cubs stuff. The Cubs sent Yu Darvish to the 10-day DL this past week, retroactive to May 23rd. He had an MRI that showed no structural damage to his arm, just some inflammation. Whew, that's good. Also, this story really bums me out. Darvish's friend and Cubs catcher Chris Jimenez, who was actually just called up to be with the Cubs after Darvish went on the DL, he told reporters that Darvish, quote, thinks that Chicago hates him for going on the DL a couple of times. He also went on to say that Darvish reads what is said about him on Twitter and that it upsets him. Jimenez actually caught Darvish when he pitched for the Rangers. So the two go back a number of years and are actually pretty good friends. This just really bums me out. I mean, I understand he signed a $126 million deal, which of course is going to put a huge spotlight on you and your season and what you do. I get that there's still also a lot of baggage coming from a short time in LA. Also, this just isn't an easy thing. When you sign a huge contract like that and there's all kinds of expectations, it's not an easy thing. John Lester can tell you that. Even Jake Arrieta can tell you that. I think that people forget that John Lester's first season, the first part of his first season in Chicago, was rough. It wasn't perfect. And obviously, when Jake Arrieta came to Chicago, he wasn't all of a sudden the, you know, Jake Arrieta that we know now. These things take time. And truly, I wasn't really going to judge Yu Darvish on his first season. I don't think for any pitcher that it's necessarily an easy thing to just jump into a new city, jump into a new organization, and everything is going to be just fine. I don't think that that's how it works. Sometimes it does. And unfortunately, Yu Darvish has had a few setbacks in his first season with the Cubs. So I think we need to give it time. I think that if Yu Darvish can stay healthy, and for the love of God, don't read the things that they say on Twitter, I think that Yu Darvish will be just fine. Also, Carl Edwards Jr., he was actually sent to the 10-day DL with shoulder discomfort. There were a few conspiracy theories going around that you know, maybe just a little tender, a little sore. And there's nothing wrong with giving a reliever a few days off, especially when they're doing so good this season as Carl Edwards Jr. has. Maybe it's a sort of a blessing in disguise to give him a little bit of rest. And coming up this weekend, the Cubs take on the Mets, and middle of next week, they will face the Phillies, where it looks like they'll miss old friend Jake Arrieta. Then next weekend, they welcome the Pirates to Wrigley. I'm sure that'll probably be eventful. I'm Allie Adams. Thanks, guys, for tuning in again to another podcast to be named later, Cubs Podcast. Ooh, also, I just remembered that I think I said that that game against Cincinnati was in 2015. Actually, that was 2014, wasn't it? Oh my gosh. It was like 4 years ago. Wow. A lot has happened in Cubs world since then. Either way, I'm Allie Adams. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good one.